All right, hey, this is Act 2 of the podcast. We're getting right back into it. If you missed Act 1, go back and listen to that thing. Otherwise, this isn't going to make any sense. Okay, see ya. Like, I think there's more to this. Let me see if there's anything about it. Raja. I saw a bunch of news stories. Raja Jackson. News. Saw a couple of news stories covering the thing. Yeah, there's an investigation. Los Angeles Police Department.
MMA fighter Raja Jackson is reportedly being investigated by the LAPD after appearing to beat his opponent unconscious during a live-streamed wrestling match. Video shows Jackson being accosted by other fighters during the event at KnockX Pro Academy in Sun Valley Saturday night.
Definitely not Knoxville.
Jackson's father, former UFC champ Rampage Jackson, apologized on social media on behalf of his son and said he was, quote, very upset about the incident. TMZ reports the other fighter regained consciousness and is recovering in the hospital.
Yeah, poor guy. Psycho Stu, you know, he gets into the wrestling thing. He's already all fucked up because he was in the military. And, you know, then this happens. Tyler says, oh, he's a veteran. It's all coming together now. Well, I mean, it seemed like Psycho Stu was not a head case, though. He seemed like he was all right in that clip that we saw of him. So I don't know if I can indict Psycho Stu yet. That's a tough biz, though. He thinks he's got his outlet, you know, and then he gets Raja Jackson in there who beats the holy fuck out of him. And if you're Raja Jackson, you got to kind of maybe take a beating now by the rest of this wrestling organization. Like that scene in the movie Colors. Get off the porch, Holmes. You know, when they're initiating the kid into the fucking gang in L.A.? Get off the porch, Holmes. And then they beat the shit out of the kid. That's what they need to do. I'm guessing no one in this audience knows the reference to the movie Colors, starring Sean Penn and Robert Duvall. You got to be old to know that. This movie came out in like 1988. Becca Shea says, I haven't seen that movie in years. David says, too old even for me. Okay, I get that. But there's got to be someone who knows that scene, whether it's on the Twitch stream or in the recorded audio afterwards, available everywhere. I need an email saying, EZ, I got the reference to Get Off the Porch, Holmes. I just want one of you to have gotten that reference. All right. Closer to home. When people get bored around here, what they do is they get in their cars and then they stop traffic. And then, like, there'll be, because you got like four lanes on the interstate. Four people will block all lanes of like northbound traffic on the interstate. And then, like, 50 other idiots will occupy the space because there's no traffic there, and they'll start doing burnouts and shit. They call these like car meetups, and they have these in horrible locations, like on the interstate or like in front of an old folks home, or perhaps like a church parking lot while church is going on, or an orphanage or a daycare. They don't care. And there's like a couple of dudes who organize these. And they do it via social media. Hey, we're going to go fuck up the orphanage. And then you just show up and, you know, act like an asshole. Well, they did this again the other day. And this one got really out of hand. because two bitches got shot and somebody's car caught on fire. Now, if you're in that area where this is happening, that's incredible to see. I mean, that is high-level drama, bleeding bitches, they're fine, and cars on fire. This time, they went over to the parking lot of somewhere in Wyoming. It was Steelcase Drive. And so now they're trying to catch up with the guy who organized them. Like, the police are like, hey, we know it's you. And he's like, well, yeah, it is. But all I did was invited people to hang out in a public place. And he's right. He's right. He is not doing anything wrong. He's saying, hey, we're going to get together and hang out. And what that means is fuck everything up. So he's kind of like threading the needle on the law. But I think they think now that they can actually arrest this asshole because he fucked up somewhere along the way. And here's the story. The
police department continues to investigate the latest violent car meetup as two people who were shot recover in the hospital.
A combination of secretive planning, concurrent shootings, and less than ideal staffing levels, all playing into the initial response Sunday morning. News 8's Duncan McLean has the latest.
Fresh tire marks greeted commuters at an industrial park on Grand Rapids Southeast Side Monday morning after yet
Duncan's
another
hair.
Car meetup devolved into chaos over the weekend. We spoke with Grand Rapids police tonight about why it's so hard to police these pop-up parties.
Two women shot at Grand Rapids' most recent illegal car meet will make a full recovery, GRPD told News 8 on Monday. It was the second shooting in Grand Rapids in the early morning hours of Sunday, and it happened as the Grand Rapids Fire Department worked to put out a car fire at that meetup.
Fire department arrived actually before the police department. They arrived, acted very quickly to put out this vehicle. While that was happening, a group of individuals, participants in this car meetup, started to fight. And that fight became very seriously. The fire department backed up, notified us, and before we even arrived, shots were fired. We did have a heads up that there potentially could be a car meetup that night. With the resources that we have and everything that was happening in the city, I wish we were able to have responded a couple minutes sooner and potentially stop this shooting, but thankful that it wasn't worse than it was.
No arrests have been made related to the gunfire, but consequences are coming for the people who organize these events, which are typically hard to find.
Well, this one might be a little bit easier.
Bottles of this Don Julio. I don't know what type of alcohol this is, but there's a lot of empty bottles of this Don Julio, and they look like they contain a lot of booze. My God, how long were they there?
A little bit different tactic where the organizer is actually trying to raise money for it. So as soon as there's a money trail, we're going to find you. In this case, will there likely be criminal laws pursued? Certainly. But with that money trail, and once we positively identify this person, there's the opportunity for us to sue him as well in civil court.
Okay.
And that really gets the attention of these individuals. As well as when you identify these vehicles that are being used in this and you find civil ways to seize the vehicles and take them, hitting somebody in the pocketbook really sends the message.
That civil response, a reaction to assertions from previous meetup organizers that they're not liable for the violence, crime, and damage that happens at these parties. News 8 will continue to update this story as those court actions play out in the coming weeks.
We used to do the same thing, man. It was incredible, except we didn't have like a lot of people doing it. You know, I have a hard time indicting these people. Well, I mean, I'd be indicting myself. I'd be a hypocrite. I did the same fucking thing, but worse, because we would, and I've talked about this before, you go to Kmart in the city of Warren, and we'd position the shopping cart on the front of the vehicle as far away from the actual business as possible. And one of two things happened more than once. You'd get going up to speed while you're going towards the structure, Kmart itself. The shopping cart is now traveling at a high rate of speed. At a certain point, if you go too far, it's like the point of no return. You don't want to do that. But you start to ease off the gas, and the cart keeps going. Now it's going full speed, 45 miles an hour, shopping cart, towards Kmart. You know how, like, in the parking lot, there's those blocks that your car can only go so far? Those are magnificent because the cart will hit that block, and now it's flying and going ass over apple cart, and it will then hit the window and break the window of the Kmart and go into the fucking store. This was a regular thing for us. It didn't have to be the Kmart. We might head over to Kroger and fuck shit up over there or, wherever. As long as we had shopping carts, storefront, and those blocks in front, and we would look for the right locations. So we were probably wanted for that one. Same thing would happen when we would get bored with that. So the other option was, same deal, but now we're pushing the cart the opposite way towards the street where the cars are racing, where the cars are driving. So the goal was push the cart out of the parking lot and roll it into the street so that it would strike a motorist driving and kill them, apparently. That's what it seemed like we were trying to do. We never were successful actually injuring someone like we wanted to do. But then the cart would then go across the street, hit the curb, and fly off of the street. So, and all while intoxicated. This is was a regular thing with us. And that Catalina had that perfect front end where the bumper came to a point so it could really... with those two kind of like rammers on the side. You might see those on a cop car. So it would really just kind of hold that cart in there nicely. It was excellent. It's a perfect car to do that shit. So all horrible felonies we were doing. That's what we did with our time. Now, let me ask you this. Of those two stupid things that we used to do, and Stevie says, oh my God, this is stupid. I know. Chris says that's what dumb fuck boy teenagers do. It was either that or get chicks pregnant, and we couldn't get chicks pregnant because we didn't have any fucking game. I think if my mom had to choose between me doing two things, that or getting chicks pregnant, she would have chosen that. And so would any parent here. If you had to choose, what's more horrible? Car at the meetup and spinning around and doing donuts and drinking, or us doing what we did. I'm going to argue that what we did was a hell of a lot worse than what all these people are doing, save for the moment that someone started to shoot a gun. Chris says, blow shit up, check. Dumb car stunts, check. Steal alcohol, it's a boy's rite of passage. Oh, we were so brazen with our thefts of booze. We would even, this one particular dude, Kirk Matlock, he would, he were 16. He would get like two cases and put them and go up to the front. Instead of going, he wouldn't bypass the door or the checkout. He was so bold about it, he would put it up there and then look at the guy, go, thanks, and then just run out the door. Instead of going like from the cooler out the door of the 7-Eleven, he would go cooler and then antagonize the guy he was about to steal it from and then take off. no one could stop us. Out of control. The worst. Bob says, "Ah, the dumb shit we did in my shit boxes when I was younger." Oh yeah, driving over a neighborhood of mailboxes, like in a row. Mailbox baseball is another great game. Horrible individuals. So this is tame. So I'm not going to sit here and say that these are, you know, horrible people. These are our future leaders. And we need to respect them and give them their space. I think the cops should say we are declaring amnesty and we are creating a zone for you to do this, a safe place for you young people. So you can go there every week and you can spin out as much as you want. You can drink as much as you want. You can shoot your guns into the air. Just don't do what Eric Zane did. That's all you got to do. Shoot guns into the air. Shoot each other if you feel like it. We'll just have an ambulance on standby and a fire truck on standby. And just get this out of your system. It is, you have carte blanche. Because they're going to do it anyway. You might as well give them a safe place to do it rather than the freeways. And then Stevie also with, "I only have one question, why?" And Chris answered that, because that's what stupid guys do. We're just idiots. Okay? Don't know why. Horrible. That's why whenever there's a young person that I see doing something ridiculous, I'm like, give them a pass. Give them a pass. All right. Before I continue, I want to shout out some of the sponsors. Thank you to Berlin Raceway, online at berlinraceway.com. They've got races coming up, not this weekend, but next weekend. In fact, next weekend, they race Friday and Saturday. You can get tickets to both those nights for $25 if you want, or you can pick one or the other. That's up to you. All the details at berlinraceway.com. If you do get tickets for both, you can get them for $25. If you do it before 11:59 p.m. Thursday night. Otherwise, you can get $15 tickets at berlinraceway.com. But if you get them for both nights, you're going to save $5 on those tickets. All at berlinraceway.com. Thank you so much. Kuiper Tree Care is here for you in West Michigan. If you got a tree down, they can take care of the mess. If you have a tree that you want removed, this thing's just a little bit too old. It's past its prime. I need somebody to get rid of it for me. Kuiper Tree Care is who you call. 616, call or text 828-8225. 616-828-8225. They will get rid of the tree. They'll grind the stump down. If you've got storm damage, they can clean that up for you. How about you just need a trim? Tree's getting out of hand, needs a haircut. They can do that for you. Or they even specialize in tree risk assessment. Tell you if this thing's got a future or if it's coming down or it's diseased. Three certified arborists can do that for you. 616-828-8225. Southwest Airlines has a new policy. Tell me what you think about this. A lot of people don't like this. They recently made it so that it was assigned seating there. That doesn't bother me in any way, shape, or form. I don't care about that. Starting in January, hang on, I got to sneeze. It was there and then it left. In January, if you buy a ticket and you are too fat and your body is encroaching upon the neighboring seat, you will be required to purchase an extra seat in advance. So what are they hoping for there? The honor system? Is there a spot when you're buying the ticket where it says, are you too fat to sit in one seat? Because if you are, you have to tell us. Because there's no way somebody is going to admit that. By the way, in this story, bummer for this chick, whoever she is, who they're using as the stock picture at the Southwest Airlines ticket counter. You don't want to be chick who is standing there in the story where it says Southwest Airlines ripped over a controversial new plus-size passenger policy. Now, this says it's worse for everybody. Well, I know what they're trying to do. I mean, that can be tough if you're not the fat chick. If you're guy or fat guy, I guess, doesn't have to be a chick, fat person, and they're fatting on you. You know, if they're there and they're like kind of wedged into the seat, and or if you get someone who's so big, they actually are on your seat and you don't have room to sit. You don't know. I mean, what the fuck? I think it should be all right if, let's say it's a sold out flight and someone is so big that they're taking up two seats and that means that another person can't fly. Sorry, I'm taking up your seat. That's not fair. That should be where the other person needs to get off. They should have the right to say, sorry, ma'am, you can't occupy two seats because that means this guy can't fly. Of course, the way the world is this day and age, someone is going to get really, really upset at this. Dan says they need a seat in the terminal like they have for the carry-on bags where if you can fit in the seat, if you can't fit in the seat, you're screwed. Oh, like a tester at the when you're about to go in. No, it sounds horrible, but it's not the airline's fault. Okay, it is not the airline's fault if someone has made themselves so that they are larger than the one seat. To ensure space, Southwest writes, we are communicating to customers who have previously used the extra seat policy that they should purchase it at booking. Those who don't purchase one ahead of time will be required to buy one at the airport. So that means there has to be a moment where someone says, ma'am, you look a little, or sir, you look a little bit porky. We're going to have to make it so that you buy, and you only have one seat down here. So we're going to have to initiate the porky person clause, and you need to buy two seats. It marks a major change from their current policy in which plus-size passengers can proactively purchase an additional seat with the option of being refunded later or request a free extra seat at the airport. I don't know if you can get away with this. So isn't there some, don't we live in a day and an age when you can say that you have a disability if you're fat? Under the new mandate, the second seat is non-refundable unless the flight isn't fully booked at the time of departure and if both of the passengers' tickets are booked in the same fare class. However, the passenger needs to request their money back within 90 days of the flight. Oh, if the flight's fully booked, the flyer will be rebooked onto a new flight. Critics were quick to rip Southwest, which has long been seen as a haven for plus-size passengers. Tigris Osborne, the executive director of the organization known as the National Association to Advance Fat Acceptance. The NAAFA. deemed the overhaul changes devastating to plus size Flyers. I like how this article refers to them as plus size Flyers, but the organization is known as National Association to Advance Fat Acceptance. I don't know if it's appropriate to say we have to accept fat people. I don't think that's really the problem. I mean, accepting is one thing. Of course, you can accept fat people and still make it so that if they're occupying more space than is necessary because they're so goddamn fat, well, then you got to pay for it. I mean, this shit's a premium. They're trying to make money. Tigress Osborne said Southwest was the only beacon of hope for many fat people who otherwise wouldn't have been flying. And now that beacon has gone out. I don't know, man. How about just lose some of the weight? How about you just lose enough to be able to sit in a seat? I think that if you're so fat, you can't even fit into an airplane seat, you've got bigger things to worry about in your life than being accepted on the goddamn airplane. Yoda World says, I'm guessing there's not a survivors past 50 in that group. Black Belt Nick says, I'm plus size. They are gargantuan. I wouldn't like to describe you as plus size. To me, whenever I hear plus size, that's a term to make someone feel better because they're ridiculous. They're like massive mocha big. I think the only terms we need are morbid and porky. These are people who can't fit into planes are morbid. And what a word. If you're described as morbid, that's like you got to fucking get after it or you're going to die. Nick seems to think he's porky then. I can't say that. No, I've seen you. You can't be that active physically and be porky. Yoda World says, think of it like shipping, though. They're paying up to a certain weight limit and fuel. Hey, it's your old pal Eric Zane for Secret Nature, makers of ultra-premium CBD gummies. And I'm going to tell you how you can take advantage of a special offer to save you 30% in a minute. But let me share this with you. You know that I've got about a million things going during any given day. And I just recently discovered Secret Nature to help me keep it all together during the day and help me wind down when the day is done. Ultra premium CBD gummies from Secret Nature. Crafted with real botanicals, nothing extra, and designed to support your day with clean, purposeful functionality. I want you to try Secret Nature Ultimum Premium CBD Gummies. Organic, farm grown, not made in a lab. You can try Bliss for clear focus and productive flow. That's what I use during the day. And Snoozers to unwind and rest at the end of the day. Consistent measured CBD per gummy, so there's no guessing. Intentional formulations that feel clean and slot naturally into your routine. Take it from me, I keep it all together during the day with Bliss. And when it's time to relax, sometimes my mind is going a million miles an hour from all of the things that I've done during the day and the things that I have to do on the next day. That's when I'll take the Snoozers to unwind. You need to try Secret Nature Ultra Premium Gummies And here's what I want you to do. You can get 30% off of your first order at secretnature.com with code ZANE. That's secretnature.com, code ZANE. And then let me know how it goes. Again, get 30% off of your first order at secretnature.com with code ZANE. That's secretnature.com, code ZANE. Secret Nature.
You know that feeling when your day finally slows down and you just want to relax, unplug, and feel good? That's where Mood.com comes in. They're changing the game, delivering legal THC products right to your door, no shady dealers, and absolutely no medical card required, just good vibes and better sleep, shipped straight from their farm to your couch. From delicious THC gummies, smooth vape pens, to premium THC flower, Mood has it all. And everything's federally legal under the 2018 Farm Bill. Yeah, this isn't some loophole. It's the real deal. Head to Mood.com and use code FIRST20 for 20% off your first order. That's MOOD.com. Find your mood.
Tyler says the airline needs to go all in and refer to this as the Porky policy. Nick says I'm 195 at 5'7". Well, I'm not that much less than you. And I'm about the same height. You're not Porky. You can't say you're Porky. I refuse to accept porkiness on you. Runner Girl agrees. She says, I just saw you on Friday. You are not Porky. I would describe you as, I don't even like to say hefty. I would say barrel-chested. Rebecca says, I'm hefty too, but not too big for an airplane. I'm just too tall for them. Yeah, I mean, the fact of the matter is, I know you're taller than I am. I think you're about 5'10", Rebecca. Tyler says, I could lose 30. I would also describe myself as a bit porky. I almost said forky. All right. Well, this is all bullshit. This person says, I think it's going to make the flying experience worse for everybody, said Jason Vaughn, an Orlando-based travel agent who shares travel tips for plus-size tourists on his website, Fat Travel Tested. Again, the article's being sensitive. The website is not. Hey, where'd you get your tickets? Fat Travel Tested. He analogized the makeover to Cracker Barrel's much maligned logo makeover. They have no idea anymore who the customer is. They have no identity. They have to identify. They have no identity left. I do not agree that the majority of Southwest passengers are morbidly obese and taking up two seats. I'm all for it. If I ever fly Southwest, I don't want to sit next to somebody whose skin is soaking over onto mine. Their bad smelling, crease covered arms, which smells like 10 dirty vaginas up and down her arm, rubbing her arm juice smeg all over me. Fuck that. No. No thanks. All right. Good for them. If that's not motivation to lose weight, I don't know what is. If you're paying twice as much to get on an airplane and you can't see the fucking light, my God, that's horrific. Stand by. Thanks to Cole for sending this along. He sends me a lot of great stories in and around the state of Colorado. Yeah, it was a story not long ago where one of the Colorado parks went on lockdown. State of Colorado, a great place to hang out is the Staunton State Park. And the ranger called in and says, we've got a casualty event. I have been stabbed by someone. It appears to be a knife attack. We need to lock down the park. Get everybody out if we can. Don't let anybody in. I am bleeding and I need assistance ASAP. This prompted a multi-agency response and a manhunt. The ranger is Callum Heskett. Crews showed up on the scene after he radioed for help last Tuesday. The attacker fled on foot. Callum Heskett gave a description of the guy as they tended to his stabbing wound. It was pretty deep. He was airlifted to the hospital while the search for the suspect that he described continued for several hours. So in and around the area, the businesses are shutting down. You're getting APBs on the radio say, be on the lookout for this person. Armed and dangerous with a knife, may have another weapon too. Be careful. So the people in this hard living line area of Jefferson County, Colorado, are on lockdown, fearful for what could be happening. The investigation continued, and as Heskett was being treated in the hospital after being airlifted, couple of the folks that were there treating him and some of the law enforcement were there saying, come on, Calum, you can pull through, buddy. They started to compare notes on the incident. And so you got guy number one, guy number two, guy number three, and their stories aren't the same, these three, that Calum told them. And they're like, wait a minute. He told you he had green pants. He told me he had red pants. He told me he had shorts on. The bad guy had shorts on. So they start to cops, even if they're hard living line sheriff's deputies, they start to get suspicious about this. And you guessed it. This sicko, dumb motherfucker stabbed himself. It was all an elaborate hoax. There was nobody that was running through the woods looking to stab people. Calum Heskett stabbed himself and then called it in and said, help, I've been stabbed by a bad guy. So he doesn't know that they're figuring out that it was him. And one of the other sheriff's deputies shows up there and the doc is checking him out, and the sheriff's deputy says, is he okay? Yeah, he's going to be all right. We're just about ready to let him go. He's going to go home and continue his recovery there. And he goes, okay, so he's going to be fine. Yeah, he's going to be fine. They put the handcuffs on him and chained him to the fucking bed so that he couldn't move. He was arrested last week, Thursday, while he was still there, and he was booked. In response to the comment on social media asking if Heskett stabbed himself, the sheriff said yes. Sheriff's Department appreciates the county, or CPW, I guess that's the state cops, appreciates the county sheriff's professionalism and partnership in investigating this incident. We'll share additional information. He faces charges of attempt to influence a public servant, tampering with evidence, fake reporting to authorities, reckless endangerment, obstructing government operations, and second-degree official misconduct. His bond is set at $10,000. My God, what an asshole. That's like that guy, Richard Jewell, You remember him? He was like the security guard in the Olympics. And I think it was 1996 in Atlanta. And everybody knows the story. Richard Jewell went ahead and he built a bomb and he blew up the Olympics. And then he said, wait a minute. Right when the bomb was ready to go off, he like rescued a few people, but like thousands more died during the Olympics. Like all the athletes, it was during the opening ceremonies. They all died. Athletes are walking. The whole U.S. Olympic team was killed. Everybody in the stadium died. And there was like, he was able to rescue a few people. And then they said, oh my God, Richard Jewell, he saved these three lives. So everybody's dead. And then they figured out that he actually made the bomb. And so he killed all those people. And there was some story that was going on that maybe he didn't do it, but I don't believe that. So this is all allegedly. And just horrible. He spent the rest of his life in prison. I might be getting a couple of those. Some of those details are fuzzy. It happened so long ago, but I'm pretty sure that that's exactly what happened. He was a bigger terrorist than like Timothy McVeigh. He killed the entire arena, football stadium in Atlanta from like the Olympics, and they canceled the whole Olympics. What a thing. Branjo says, man, Richard Jewell, they screwed him over bad. Yeah, I don't see it that way. I don't see it that way. Anyway, hang on. I got to get a drink of water here. Whenever I tell those terrible stories, that's tough to tell those terrible stories. But somebody's got to do it, and I'm just the guy for it. All right. How would you like to be this husband? Alexis Von Yates is an excellent nurse in Florida. And she took a plea deal from this criminal activity when she was having sex with a 15-year-old boy. Now that on its surface is horrific. Now I know that some of you animals might think that her sentence should be quite lenient, or she should just be let go because she's reasonably attractive. Kind of crazy eyes, but that's how some of you scumbags roll. It wouldn't surprise me if you said that Alexis Von Yates should be free. This is her mugshot. Okay, now this picture, I'm sure, when she's all dressed up. And the New York Post always does that. If there are sexy pictures of a female perpetrator, they will find them. And so this is the sexy picture. She has the fuck me shoes. She's wearing the little skirt that's so short she needs two haircuts to get ready. And, you know, she's a cutie. There's no doubt. Now, I'm not going to be the guy that says that a woman who... if someone abuses a child, should be set free because they're attractive. But I know that some of you are. So that's why I'm showing you those pictures, so that you scumbags can out yourselves. David says crazy eyes equals guilty. Alan says not guilty. David says hot equals not guilty. Tyler said, let's see her. Nope, she's guilty. Major crazy eyes. Bob says, the crazy eyes gets her 1.5 years. So, all right. Now, if the story ended there, it's still something we talk about here. Her husband walked in on her porking the 15-year-old. Like, actually saw the activity happening. Walking in on the 6-year-old boy. And there's one more thing. It is her 15-year-old stepson. This sounds like Penthouse Forum. She was having sex with her 15-year-old stepson. And dad of the boy walked in. My God. Seriously. If your hubby... I can't even begin to think how he recovers from that. Bob says, oh, okay, 5 years now. Alexis Von Yates, 35, initially charged with engaging in unlawful sexual activity with a minor after her husband Frank claimed he caught the wife red-handed last year. The former nurse lost her medical license after the allegations emerged, has pleaded no contest to a lesser charge of lewd and lascivious battery during a recent hearing. Prosecutors said the victim's family supported the negotiated plea deal as it meant the 15-year-old victim would avoid reliving his ordeal. I argue that he's like pounding his pud to the quote-unquote ordeal. Something they feared would disrupt his ongoing mental health treatment. So, I don't know. Maybe he's like, yeah, I need mental health treatment because somebody took that away from me. Under the terms of the plea agreement, Von Yates will serve 2 years in the Department of Corrections, followed by 2 years of community control, 10 years of sex offender probation, 200 hours of community service, fines, and court costs. An investigation was launched after cops received an anonymous tip in July of 24, just days after the alleged sexual abuse occurred. Excuse me, that included information that the child victim's father had walked in on the incident. It was claimed Von Yates abused her stepson while he was visiting dad's home for the summer. On the night of the alleged incident, she put her two kids to bed and then hung out with the kid in the living room. They smoked a THC vape and played video games together and watched movies. This is right out of a porno. At 1 a.m., the stepmom turned on a horror movie and then is alleged to have seduced the minor, declaring the movie was boring and stated how horny she was. In statements given to police, the boy claimed she told him she was sexually frustrated because she had not had sex in 2 weeks and she was on her period. The pair then cuddled before it progressed to mouth contact. At this point, it is claimed Von Yates told the boy, I wish you're 18, but you were 18 because you're not old enough. Von Yates then kicked off her undies before sexual contact occurred, according to the affidavit. Ugh. Of course, Frank comes home from work and he discovers the wife and the son on the couch completely nude. The boy told investigators how the garage door swung open as the alleged attack was taking place. All right, that's not an attack. It's a seduction. But the boy says he did not stop. The boy says they did not stop when Frank walked in and shouted, what the fuck is going on? So they kept like going at it and Frank's watching. Ugh. He is then said to have been throwing objects before branding Von Yates a See You Next Tuesday and accusing her of being a child predator. The 15-year-old ran out of the house but allegedly heard Von Yates tell his father that his son looked just like him when he was younger, according to the original affidavit. Oh, my God. The nursing license was immediately suspended following the arrest. The victim had been scheduled to testify about the incident over a Zoom call, but has been spared as a result of the plea agreement. The family's desire for Von Yates to do additional time is outweighed by their overall concern for the victim's mental and emotional health. I can see that. The mother feels it is justice for him to have to not relive this situation, like the real mom. The boy is 3 years under the legal age of consent in Florida. Wow, this is fucking terrible. Maureen says, quote, "It's not cheating. He reminds me of you," which is, I guess, a lyric of the Gin Blossoms. Patrick says, "This is boring. Let's fuck." Holy shit. Yes, brainless sluts, I'm told, taking from the old drop from back in the day. Chris says, "Nurse, makes sense now." That is, and then, so now I need to know, so the husband has to have divorced this chick, right? I mean, my God. And she's got her own kids? I don't know. I just seem to, when it comes to that type of horrible activity, that sinister level, it just seems so fucked up for a, for like a chick to do it. Like it's, like with a guy, I almost like expect that horrible criminal behavior out of a dude more so than I would out of a woman. I think that women, I mean, I look to women for like the rock to be the anchor to not give in to lust like that. But I guess it's possible for some women to just not be able to control their horny level. As Chris Hansen once said, it's to me, that's a rare thing. If a woman cannot control her horny level like that. Of course, she was under the influence with the drug, so maybe that had something to do with it. But have any of you women, and I doubt any of you will be able to, will actually admit this. Have you ever had a time when you couldn't control your horny level? And you were like, all right, I just need to get porked, and that's the end of it. I'm not saying like with a child. However, if any of you want to actually admit that, I mean, I can't stop you. That would make this a lot more interesting if some of you admitted to a like a felony crime. And I think that that makes the show better. So if any of you women have ever molested a child because you couldn't control your horny level, I can't get in the way of you admitting that. But just know that if you do admit to not being able to control your horny level with a child, I have to contact authorities right away. I have to stop the podcast. I would say, yeah, so-and-so here just admitted to a felony crime. So I don't know if you want to do that. But you can also admit to not being able to control your horny level legally. Okay. I can't stop that. Now, I actually can control my horny level, especially these days. The medicine that I am taking, it really makes my horny level manageable. So there's very little moments when I'm even horny at all, let alone not being able to control my horny level. Linda says, good God, don't answer that question. Yeah, that's probably best. I just find it shocking when women can't control their horny level. Like, if Pooh Bear were to come in here and, like, start seducing me, which would not happen even if I, you know, there's never been a horny level. She's never had the horny level where she just started to make out with me. She's not wired that way. There's not that level of horniness with Pooh Bear. Plus, she's past the pause or getting past the pause. So it's like, yeah, whatever. Once you get past the pause, if any of you ladies have that type of horny level, the pause kind of puts a damper on that, I'm told. Anyway, I've exhausted my knowledge of this topic. Before we get to the asshole of the day, and you can nominate your asshole of the day in the chat. Hello to Oakland Auto Detail. Follow them on Facebook at Oakland Auto Detail. If you want your car clean, inside and out, this is who you call. 616-510-3470. That's 616-510-3470 for Oakland Auto Detail. Love our friends over at Pinball Land. Online at pinball-land.com. Go check out all the great games they have there and make pay a visit to Pinball Land. You go there, you pay them a flat fee, and I'm totally confused because the website says $9 for an hour. And everybody paid $10 at when we were there for the party. So I'm like, what's happened? Did you raise the price and not tell me? Anyway, whether it's 9, whether it's 10, doesn't matter. I would still pay it because it's so much goddamn fun to play these pinball games and old school video games right in Rockford, Michigan. Pinball-land.com. If you go for 2 hours, it's $15, unless he raised the price and didn't tell me. And if you want the whole day, it's $20. Some people really do that. You need more info, pinball-land.com. All right. If you have a nominee for asshole of the day, that's totally fine. I think we need to make it Alexis Von Yates, though, who took the 15-year-old to Pound Town. In fact, that's definitely going to be the asshole of the day, and anything else could be a nominee for asshole of the day. Borculo Josh says, I never met a lady that couldn't control it. Agreed. They all have, you know, they've got control of themselves. Men don't. That's why men do criminal sexual things more than women do. 99 times out of 100, sex crimes are committed by women. I'm sorry, by men. Jesus. So there you go. Alexis Von Yates is your asshole of the day. Dan gives me a retroactive asshole of the day. Easy for all the crap you did as a kid. And then he asks if I ever have been asshole of the day. I have. I actually have been. I've given myself the award more than once. Okay. That is the podcast. It's done. That is a Tuesday, August 26th edition of the Eric Zane Show podcast. There's more podcasting coming up today with the Patreon bonus, with Big Fraud Book Club. And I even have my podcast with Christian on the Who Are These Podcasts YouTube platform when we do Who Are These Broadcasters. Okay, so busy. Thanks for being here, though, folks. I appreciate you so much. Till next time, bye-bye.